All right, hey everyone. I forgot to say this at the beginning, but please grab a Bible if you've got one near you in your house. I may try and put some of the text that we're going to look at here today up on the screen, but it'll be really helpful if you've got your Bible in front of you. We're going to try and do this briefly, but we're going to get into a new series here in the coming weeks. And so I get to open up Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. It's called Philippians, and you can turn to it now. We're just going to look at the very first part of it. Some of the text will be up on the screen. How about I just pray for us to get started as we open God's word? Father, I thank you that your word is alive, it's active, and it's at work. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray now that through the technology, but more importantly, through the power of your truth penetrating our hearts, that you would speak to our minds, to our actions, to our thoughts, and to the week and to the month ahead for us. Lord, I pray that you would gather us now under your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I love that testimony from Jackie, and I guess I want to say that was not my week this last week. I don't know. Everyone's probably had different points of their lockdown experience, but this was my week where I was like, I've had it. I'm sick of being inside. I just want to see my friends. I just want to see the people I work with. This has been good, but enough is enough. That was kind of what my week was like. And listen, if that has been you, you know, if you're just sick of it and ready to just see people again, then well, Philippians is your kind of letter. Let me just say that. Because Paul is a man who's writing and he has learned to be content. Let's say that. But he is also longing to see the people that he loves again. Is anybody feeling that these days? Just like longing to see people that you love. Friends and family face to face. Sending messages is not quite cutting it. You know, FaceTime and Zoom aren't totally living up. So let's get into the letter here. We're going to open it up in just a second. But let me tell you this. Paul is writing a love letter to a church while he's in lockdown. It's not exactly lockdown, but it's most likely prison in Rome. He mentions being a prisoner three times just in the first chapter. So we know he's a prisoner, and we're pretty sure he's in Rome. He writes a letter to his friends, and they're the people that he loves and they longs for. He says it in verse 7 of chapter 1, I have you in my heart. And in verse 8, it says, look, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus. They're special to him because Paul had spent some time in Philippi getting this first church started. And if that interests you, I really want to encourage you, go back. We don't have time tonight, but go back and look at Acts chapter 16 to get some of the history of how this church began. There's some really amazing stories in it. And so he writes to the church in Philippi, and they end up sending a gift to help out Paul in his ministry. They send it with a messenger, kind of a courier named Epaphroditus. Now, how many of you guys have enjoyed the sort of personal lockdown courier system that we've enacted here as Good Shepherd Mission? You know, like the splash team has just been killing it with doorstep drop-offs. Maybe your patch has been bringing by food that you needed or paracetamol. So what does Paul do? He gets this gift that Epaphroditus brings, and he sends a WhatsApp message back to everyone saying, thanks. You know, thanks, I got your gift. And he doesn't just thank them for their gift. He thanks them for the partnership that they have together in the gospel. And so he writes to say thanks, and he updates them on his ministry. That's what this letter is. And to encourage them, and then to warn them to be ready, because times of suffering are coming. So he writes a letter from prison during a time of separation. You can tell that he's separated. He writes in chapter 2, you know, I want to send Timothy to you soon. In fact, I hope I can see you soon. And he says, meanwhile, I'm going to send Epaphroditus back to you, this messenger, because he really wants to see you. He was sick when he arrived, and you've heard about it, and he's been stressed that he's not going to get to see you again, and I've been stressed that he's not going to make it back to you. So I'm just going to send him to you soon. So he writes a letter during a time of separation. But he also writes a letter like a man who's kind of hearing the clock tick. There's a race against time, and Paul can tell. He doesn't know how long he has until he faces either execution or freedom. And because Rome is a Philippi is a colony of Rome, the church in Philippi is coming under increased persecution for proclaiming the gospel. So Paul also writes with a sense of urgency that the day of Christ is coming and that the church needs to be ready. So I really encourage you to read it. This is a letter that deserves to be read all the way through, start to finish. And so just sometime in your time this week, it took you less than 30 minutes to just read or listen to the whole letter of Philippians start to finish. All right, so let me just encourage you. Let's get into Philippians chapter 1. Paul says this. He says, "Every time I think of you, I pray with joy." Why? Because we're all in this together. That's where I'm going with this tonight. That we're all in this together, and that means we're not alone. Okay? So let me just read the whole first section here. I actually want to share the text with you on the screen. So let's do this. Slight moment of awkwardness. So here's the text. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all of God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. All right, so when Paul says, "I think of you and I pray with joy because we're all in this together," I want you to pay attention to all the different times that Paul says we're all in this, or that he uses the word all, because it really stood out to me. I want to keep it on the screen just so you can see them all in one list. He writes to all of God's holy people in verse 1, "In all my prayer," verse 4, "and for all of you," in verse 4, "and I feel this way, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you," verse 7, "all of you sharing God's grace with me," verse 7, "and for how I long for all of you," verse 8. So he's talking to everybody, all of the holy people, God's holy people in Philippi. And then he says this. It's basically a message of unity and togetherness that we see throughout Paul's letter. How can we have that unity? Because we're in Christ. Okay? So I'm going to just stop there with the video sharing, but this way you can actually understand when Paul writes in verse 1, he addresses the letter to all of God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, just like he would write to us now, to all of God's people in Christ Jesus at home in East London. Just think about that right now. Because of Jesus Christ, we can be united together even though we're separated. So think of this, church. Though we're not in the Good Shepherd Mission building, we are still the church united because we are in Christ. We're all in this together. But we're also not just all in this together. We're all in this together. Look at the things that that Paul points out. He writes to everyone. Let me just I want to share again because it's important to just see the list, okay? Look at this. So he wrote all these things to all of God's people, right? And then here, look at the next one. We're all in this together. He writes together with Paul and Timothy, to all the overseers and the deacons, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he writes, because of your partnership in the gospel, verse 5, whether in chains or defending the gospel, verse 7, all of you share in God's grace with me. So Paul's letter is a message of true partnership in the gospel. We're all in this together, and that means we're not alone. And we're not alone, not only because we have each other, but we have God at work through us and in us. And that's kind of the next point. God is at work with us, and God is at work in us. Paul says this, every time I think of you, I pray with joy. Why? Not just because I like you, But because of this, here's Paul's main thing, that what gives him the most joy is partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So he writes to thank them because they've prayed for him, they've given to his ministry, they've labored with him back when they were together. And Paul writes from prison and says, guess what, guys? The work continues until this very day. The gospel is not in lockdown. The gospel is not in chains. And somewhere in East London tonight, I can hear Ryan saying amen, right? Your partnership in the gospel, Paul writes in verse 7, continues whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel. So God is at work through us and through our partnership, and God is at work in us. So look at verse 6 there, right there in your Bibles if you've got it. He says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And there appears to be kind of an apparent contradiction in the book of Philippians. Is it God's work or is it our work? You know, that's kind of one of those things in the mysteries of the gospel that you always think, is this God's work that he carries out, or is this something that we're supposed to do? But and it's partly because you get this statement later on in Philippians. It's in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, if you want to flip to it. But I'll read it for you. It says this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But then it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So it's this combination, these two things that seem like they contradict. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling, but also it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. So how do we reconcile these two things? Well, there's a theologian, Jim Packer, who has this quote I think is really, really helpful. He says this, in the Bible, divine sovereignty and human responsibility are not enemies. They're not uneasy neighbors. They're not in an endless state of cold war with each other. They are friends and they work together. So our actions matter, but God is at work. And since we're all in this together and God is always at work, Paul says in verse 9, this is my prayer. And take a look at it there in the scripture, right there in front of you. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. Love is the foundation of everything that Paul writes about in this letter. And in another letter, he says this. Now, these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And he goes on to talk about love several other times in this letter, nearly in every chapter. And he's not just talking about love that's emotion or affection. He's talking about love that's thoughtful. Look at what he writes. He says that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. And that can't just be about accumulating information. Paul prays for knowledge combined with depth of insight. That's in verse 10. So that you may be able to discern what is best. And that means knowing the meaning and the significance of things. How many of us these days need exactly that? Greater love? Yeah, I mean, that's me. But love that's well informed. And not just well informed, but able to know what things mean, able to see what the significance of them is so that we can do the best good things. We are inundated these days with news headlines, facts, figures, charts, graphs, political announcements. I know I need love that's thoughtful and well-informed, but also guided by deep insight. So for today, especially moving back, and we just heard an announcement, if you paid attention to the prime minister, moving from a time of very clear stay-at-home guidelines to a message that's a little more gray. It's going to require daily discernment of what's good and what's right. So now more than ever, we need a depth of insight that's motivated by love, don't we? And that's not just a prayer that Paul prays so that we know what's best for today. We look at the second part of verses 10 and 11. He prays it so that we may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And that day of Christ, that phrase, is the second time that it's been mentioned in chapter 1. Okay, so in verse 6, God says, or Paul writes, God will keep working until he's finished, until the day of Christ Jesus. That's not the last day of lockdown. That's not the last day or the first day that we'll be back in the Good Shepherd Mission building or the last day that we'll be here on earth. But it's the day when God's work is made complete in us as we stand before him in heaven. Let me tell you, Paul writes of the letter like a man who's eagerly looking forward to that day. And he writes like a man who knows the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking, not just on Paul's possible execution, but for the church to get the gospel message out and to get ready for Christ's return. And he doesn't just write that way, he prays that way for his friends that he loves. So Paul prays that love may abound more and more so that we may be made pure and blameless on that day, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. So let me remind you of where the gospel message is and what we've heard today that Paul writes in this letter here. He says we're all in this together. And the day is coming that we'll stand in judgment for our attitudes and our actions. So church, Paul writes, get ready. And praise God that we all share in God's grace too, that God's grace is at work in us because of Jesus's suffering love for us on the cross. We can be found in him. So where does the fruit of righteousness come from? Look at verse 11. It comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So what does this mean for us here in May of 2020? Well, let's try this out for a week. If you think of somebody in Good Shepherd Mission, just at any point during your week, someone in our fellowship, thank God for them and then pray for them. You can borrow Paul's prayer here if you want. You can pray that their love may grow more and more. You can pray that their knowledge would expand along with their depth of understanding. You can pray that they would grow in holiness and that they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness because of being in Christ. That's the first one. Secondly, let's continue to partner in the gospel going out in our patches, our city, and in the nations. We're all in this partnership together, not just the leaders, not just the staff. That's for all of God's holy people in Christ Jesus, in Hackney and in Bow and Mile End and Whitechapel and Bethnal Green. And that's going to mean that all of us need to be all in all of the time. My third thing tonight is let's partner with God's work in us to increase our love. Love that's measured by insight, that's guided by discernment, especially for these unique days that we're living in. See, we're at a stage when we need what Paul prays for more and more than ever, I would say. We need prayer for our love to abound and for our choices to be guided by good information and deep insight. And so God's invitation for us right now is for us to move on from a mentality of let's just survive this thing to asking for ourselves and for Good Shepherd Mission, how can we grow in love? How can we do good for others in a thoughtful way and advance the gospel? And we need to remember that God started his work in us, and he will carry it to completion all the way through to the end, so that we're found to be full of good fruit when the final day comes, whenever that is. That's my prayer for me, and that's my prayer for you and for all of us, so that God receives the glory and the praise. Let me just pray for us to conclude. So, Father, I thank you that for these loved ones, even though we can't gather together, that you have given us your word, that we see that it's alive and at work. And I do pray, God, that you would strengthen and deepen our love, each one of us, that it would abound more and more, that it would grow, and that you'd increase our knowledge of you and of one another and of the times, but not just knowledge, God. We don't need more information. And we pray for depth of insight, for wisdom, heaven's wisdom. Not just for our sake, God, but so that we can bear fruit in keeping with your kingdom, that we can be in step with your spirit, so that we can advance the gospel and reach people for you because of the love that's put on display. And God, we want to do that so that your glory gets displayed, that the nations would sing praise around your throne at the end of times in the last day. And so, God, would you allow us the joy that Paul prays for of bearing fruit for your kingdom? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.